You know, a few days ago I was reading a verse which has been quoted quite a few times over the last few months. Well, no, not the verse I read was quoted, but what it led on to has been quoted and been talked around over the last few months. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, this is what I read. Verse 29, and it says this, the words of Jesus speaking, he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Now I think it was last Sunday, We sat in the garden for quite a bit of time last Sunday afternoon and evening, and we were watching this robin come down out of the tree onto. We've got a pen that we keep the rabbit in. It's an old one that's on its side. It came down, it settled on that, then it jumped down to the garden and back to the rabbit run. And then it went into the tree, then back to the rabbit run, then down to the ground, then onto the... Just keep going backwards and forwards. I was watching this for... must have been a good best part of an hour, just watching this robin come backwards and forwards. Didn't seem to mind that we were there, except when we moved. Then it shot up into the tree, but then it came back. Yeah, and I took it upon myself to go into the house, and I brought out a bit of a crust of a bread and just... sort of threw some bread out for it, and just carried on watching this. You know, this, I think it was a day of either Monday or Tuesday following that I read this verse here. "Now, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. And then Jesus said, do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." You know, there's three really wonderful words in the scriptures, and it's these words that have been read. We've read them in the context of the Lord's Prayer some time ago, and every now and then when I haven't been ministering, you know, we were going through the early chapters of Matthew, and it was touched on a few Sundays ago, or certainly it's been recently. That's these three words, these wonderful words, are these words here. How much more? You know, in the Lord's Prayer, you know, Jesus, well, that teaching after the Lord's Prayer, he goes on and he says, look, he says, you know, don't worry about certain things, about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, and things like that. And he says, how much more value are you to God than things like the birds and the flowers? You know, we can take pleasure, and we did, in that little robin that we watched last Sunday. It didn't have a bright red front, you know, but you could see after the red had faded. No doubt that will come back in the winter months, but... you know, you've got sort of a russet-looking top of his breast area in his bird. We just watched this little bird backwards and forwards and got a great deal of pleasure and satisfaction out of just watching him play and feed and whatever he was doing. And, you know, and God says that we are of more value to him than the birds. Now, they can give us pleasure, but we give God a great deal of pleasure. You know, and God knows all about us. It actually says in this scripture that not one of the birds falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. You know, God knows each and every bird that falls. Every bird that, as you know, you see on the roadside, a lot of birds get hit by trucks and cars, and there's a lot of dead birds in the road. Not one of them falls without God knowing about it. And he says, how much more are you better than the birds of the air? That's it in Luke's Gospel. But I want to consider just very quickly this morning these three wonderful words, how much more. And the first scripture I want us to turn to about five scriptures this morning. The first one's found in the book of Hebrews. And this is fitting because we've just broken bread together and remembered the cross. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13, we read these words. It says, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know, under the old covenant, I'm sure you know this and you're aware of this, in order to atone for sin, the blood of an animal, normally a lamb or a bull, was sacrificed. You know, and that lamb, or that blood from the lamb, or that blood from the bull was sprinkled on the altar. You know, and that, after the sacrifice had been made, you know, sins were atoned for, sins were cleansed for that short period of time. And whenever God's people had to approach God, they had to bring that offering. There was the sin offering, there was other offerings that needed to be brought. And this was to really to cover them as they came before God. In verse 13 it says, the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctified for the purifying of the flesh. That was okay under the old covenant. But in the new covenant, we don't come with the blood of bulls and goats. We don't come with lambs and bulls. Because we have the blood of Jesus Christ. And here, the writer to the Hebrews argues, he says, look, he says, if that was sufficient under the old covenant, you know, we're now living, and in another part of Hebrews, he says, we're living under, in a better covenant, with better promises, with better, better promises and so we have access to the Father, the blessing, much better blessings under the new covenant than they had under the old. You know, quite a few places it says that the new's better. And he says, how much more then shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, who offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And it goes on saying that, you know, it's for this reason that he is the mediator of the new covenant. You know, he, Jesus, you know, the one, his blood, how much more shall his blood cleanse and purge our conscience? Yes, the blood of animals was sufficient to cover sin, but that only lasted for a time. You know, if you look back into Leviticus, you'll see that at most, it only covered a year. Every year they had to come with, on the Day of Atonement, and make a sacrifice. You know, offer up blood for the sins of the people. You know, and part of the ceremony on the Day of Atonement was that they sent the goat off into the wilderness, you know, bearing the sins of the people. You know, and that satisfied. But that was only a shadow of what was to come. You know, God was preparing something better. You know, and Jesus came. You know, and the scripture here says, how much more shall the blood of Christ cleanse us and make us whole? You know, we've remembered this morning, you know, that blood that was sprinkled. You know, it says at the end of this chapter, it says that, you know, Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. You know, Christ was offered to bear our sin. You know, this isn't something when we remember and we break bread together, it's not something we're not crucifying Christ every week. You know, that sacrifice was made once for all. You know, we're just remembering now, and we're putting it into our hearts, into our spirits, reminding ourselves what actually Jesus did. You know, how much more his blood cleanses today. You know, so often we, I think we're like the people of old. Yeah, they had to bring a sacrifice. You know, we try and bring sacrifices to God. You know, God wants us to do one thing, and we say, well, if we bring this, and we do this, and we do this, you know, that will suffice us. But there's only one sacrifice. And all those sacrifices that went before, you know, hundreds, thousands, well, we're talking millions, if you think about it, millions of animals that gave their life. You know, just one year on, none of those sacrifices counted for anything, because they needed to be done again. But we have these three words in this verse here: how much more. You know, whenever I read these words, you know, I've got, if you go through my Bible, you'll see I've got a lot of green highlighting and a lot of underlining. And almost every one of these words, how much more, is underlined. But whenever I read those words, you know, how much more, there's something more in the things of God. Something more in the work of Calvary. Something that no sacrifice under the old could accomplish. You know, we can come day by day, and we can be forgiven of our sins, we can be cleansed, we could be made whole. There is a scripture we're going to go on to in a minute, but it talks in that scripture about justification, being justified, being made as though we'd never sinned. You know, that's something that the blood of animals could never do. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us, it justifies us, it sanctifies us. You know, let's just read the next scripture, because that really just, I'm moving on to that one, but it's Romans 5, verses 8 and 9. A very well-known scripture, good gospel text. I think we often, a lot of these verses, I think we treat as gospel texts, but really they're not. They're not. They never were intended to be preached in the gospel setting. Now, these are written to Christians. These are written to the people of God. They're written to the church. Yeah, one of those verses is the verse found in Revelation, where it says, "I stand at the door and knock." You know, we use that as a gospel text. You know, yeah, God stands at our heart's door knocking, waiting for us to open. But that was written to the church, the people of God. And this is another one here, Romans 5:8. It says that God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then he goes on and says, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Yeah, the blood of bulls and the blood of goats and lambs only covered for a sin for a year. Now the blood of Jesus, it says, how much will purge us and cleanse us. Here it tells us that we are justified by his blood. As I just said, we've been made as though we've never sinned. Somebody once put it like this, it was putting it in the Sunday school setting, the word justified means just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if I'd never. You know, we've been justified by his blood. Then it says we shall be saved from wrath through him. You know, it's a guarantee. You know, the blood of Jesus, when Jesus saved us, that guarantees our redemption. You know, he's talking about here the redemption of our body. As you know, we are, the moment we give our hearts to the Lord, the moment we trust in Jesus, our spirit receives everlasting life. You know, we are cleansed, our spirit is cleansed and made whole. But we still live in this old body, this shell. And this body still gets old, it still gets weary, gets achy. You know, it decays. You know, but we are going to be redeemed. Our bodies shall be redeemed. We shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. The New Testament, that Paul writes in the New Testament. Something is going to happen. We're waiting for the redemption of our bodies. And here it says in this scripture, it says, God shows his love towards us. It was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. While we were still in our sin, Jesus shed his blood. That blood that cleanses much more than the blood of bulls and goats. But then he says, we've been justified. We've touched on it and sung it earlier on. You know, when Jesus looks at us, God looks at us, he doesn't see what we used to be. He sees Jesus in us. He sees what we are in Christ. He sees what we will become and what we are destined for. You know, the old is gone. That's been covered by the blood. You know, that blood that cleanses, that blood that justifies us. But then that justification is our guarantee that God's going to take us to be with himself. You know, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You know, there is coming a day when this old body will have to lay down and give way to a resurrected body. Now, it might be when we go by way of the grave, it might be when Jesus appears in the air, but this body is going to have to lay down. And a resurrected body, which is a body that's not mortal anymore, an immortal body, will be raised. So, yes, the blood of Jesus cleansed us. The blood of Jesus also guarantees that we're going to be saved. I'm talking about saved, our bodies being saved, our redemption of our bodies. But something else we see in the scriptures, and this really is where I started a little while ago, in the book of Luke, started off thinking about the birds. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, Jesus is teaching, and this is what we've read to us from Matthew recently, but this is from Luke's Gospel. And here Jesus says in verse 24, he says, "Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds?" How much more value are you than the birds? Again, we've touched on it today, talking about perhaps not being worthy or not feeling worthy to receive the things that God does for us. A lot of people feel like that. You know, well, I'm not worthy to receive that blessing. I'm not worthy to have this. I'm not worthy to have that. Yeah, maybe we're not. But God says to us, he says, look, he says, how much more value are you than the birds? You know, the birds don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store up in barns, they don't work, except sort of for building their nest and things like that, but they don't go out and hard labour, yet God looks after them. God feeds them, you know, God provides for them, and he says, you are much more valuable to me than the birds. How much more, those words appear in that verse, how much more are you better than the birds? Are of more value than the birds. And then Jesus went on in that chapter to teach. He says, you worry, he says, you fret, you think about how we're going to meet our needs, how we're going to do this. A little bit later on in the chapter here it says, then he says, consider the lilies. Just a couple of verses on. He says, they grow. He says, but they don't toil and they don't spin. And then in verse 28 it says, if God so clothes the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? You know, how much more will Jesus, or will God look after us, will God care for us? But he tells us to do, he says, look, he says, you seek first God's kingdom, you seek first God's ways, and all these things will be added to you. The birds don't want for food, the flowers don't want for their beauty, their clothing. You know, God sees to it that they're provided for. You know, we're more valuable than the little birds, we're more valuable than the flowers. Let's just consider one more thought along this line. That God will meet our needs. God provides for everything that we need. God feeds the birds, he clothes the flowers. They don't have any need of anything. You know, we as children, in Matthew 7, Jesus taught this. He says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You know, as natural parents, you know, we know how to give good things to our children. You know, we don't give them anything that's going to harm them, anything that's going to destroy them. Certainly, loving parents don't do that. You know, if a parent loves their child, they will see that they are benefited, see that they are blessed in every way. Now we've got two, as you know, two grown up girls now, both adults. You know, they like to be independent, they like to have their own way and do what they want to do. But even so, we're still looking out for them. You know, you see things and, you know, we say, well, that's not good for you. Yeah, they can make their own decisions, they can make their own mistakes, but you know, we still care for them. You know, we're still looking out for them. You know, God looks out for us. How much more will our Father who is in heaven give good things to those? If we ask God for good things, ask him for our clothing, ask him for our food, ask him for work, ask him for the things that we are needing, God gives to us. There's one more scripture in here, and this is, again, it's found in Matthew 12. Jesus was being questioned about healing in Matthew 12. There was a man in the synagogue with a withered hand. And it says in verse 10, it says that this man, yes, he was sick, but he was being watched by all the religious leaders. Will Jesus touch this man, do something for this man? And they were looking at him because they wanted to accuse him of breaking the Sabbath laws. Because they were saying that under the Sabbath laws, to heal a man was considered as work. But Jesus put a thought to them, a parable to them. He says, what person is there among you? This is verse 11. He says, if he has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold of it and lift it out? Then he says, of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out and it was restored as whole as the other. You know, how much more value is a man than a sheep? Is a man than a bird? Is a man than one of the flowers of the field? You know, God cares for us. We've seen how much God cares for us because we read in Romans that God has shown us how much he loves us. It was while we were still sinners. And if God can do that while we are sinners, send Jesus to be our Saviour, how much more will he not look after us now we are his children? You know, those three words, they're wonderful words. How much more? You know, just let those words this morning, this today, this week, you know, just go around in your spirit. You know, keep them in your heart. You know, how much more? When we're talking about, when we're facing a problem this week, trust, we don't have any problems this week, but if we face a problem this week, you know, when it presents itself, now how much more will God look after us? Yeah, the problem might press upon us, but how much more will God deliver us? How much more? You know, the great words. You know, just small words, really. What's there? What? 4, 8, 11 letters in those three words. How much more? But, you know, they encompass so much. How much more will the blood cleanse us and make us whole? How much more will God save us and deliver us? How much more will he care for us, feed us and clothe us and look after us? You know, God's a good God. You know, we think we know what we're doing when it comes to raising children or parenting, but you know, how much more does our Father know about us? Amen.
Father, we thank you that you do love us much more than the birds, much more than the flowers, much more than the animals. We thank you, God, who loves us so much. You showed just how much by allowing your own dear Son to pay the price for us, which we remembered today. How much more, Lord, you want to give us good things. Lord, as we believed and received your best gift of all, you want to add to us much more. Lord, you want to give us more and more and more. So we thank you, Father, and we pray that your word will be in our hearts, that it will bring forth fruit in our lives as we meditate upon it, Lord. Lord, let us be encouraged, Lord. When we face the trials of this life, let us realize that you love us much more and that you are able to do more than we can even pray about. Lord, we thank you. And so we ask now that you'll take us to our homes safely. And Lord, you'll keep us walking with you and considering your love and your care. In Jesus' name. Amen.